CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Fine edition of my so-called 8-bit life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today from his compound somewhere in the world, Mr. Doug Funny.
Hello, what's up, Rob?
How's it going, good sir?
I'm doing all right. Just chilling at the house right now.
It's funny because I was looking, and I know for the video listeners can see this, but I'm putting on the solo shot because I was looking during the pre-show, and I didn't even mention this. Where the hell did you get the horror guys playing poker poster?
Oh, Moving Trading Company.
Okay, because it's like, it's one of those things. I started staring. I go, okay, there's Jason, there's Freddy. Is that Chucky there?
Yeah, it's Chucky. There's Scream. He's right there, body, and you probably can't tell. Freddy, Jason, and the Halloween guy.
Okay.
I forget his name.
Mike Myers would be the
thank you.
Yeah, Mike Myers would be the Halloween guy, which is funny that I remember that. But yeah, it was one of those things I kept seeing in the background, like, okay, see Back to the Future or whatever. I'm like, where the hell do you get like the freaking, like, you know, horror characters playing poker kind of thing?
Hey, we saw it. I saw it and we bought that real quick.
Well, that's what I
don't want the dogs playing poker. It was overplayed.
That's the gag now, is that everyone does the whole dogs playing poker shot type thing, and everyone kind of has like their own kind of spin on that. Well, Doug, it's funny because so for those who have no idea who the hell Doug Funny is, which if you don't, I'm surprised, but you will learn today, so do not worry. Doug Funny, sure. Not Doug Yancey Funny, specifically Doug another middle name Funny. I say another middle name Funny just because.
Thank you.
Because is a hip hop artist, or better known in certain circles as nerdcore. Although honestly, this is something I keep saying, Doug, because I feel I have to. There is no difference between nerdcore hip hop and traditional hip hop. It's just what you talk about versus, you know, what other people talk about, and even then,
the traditional.
Right. There's no. Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, I have to say it just as a taxonomy thing. Whereas if you're in the scene, it's just you know, like, oh yeah, it's just hip hop. Who cares? You know, no one ever
questions it, really.
Well, because I always make the gag of, like, no one ever gave Little Flip shit when he did Game Over and had a Pac-Man beat.
That's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying.
No one ever gave him shit for doing that song, even though it's a terrible song. No offense, Little Flip. It's just it's not a really great song in the grand scheme of things. And
the remix is better than the original.
Well, because I just remember, like, when I heard as a kid, and this is like back before I really knew what nerdcore was, I just Game Over, Flip, and I hear like Pac-Man sounds. I'm like, I fucking know those sound effects. Okay, and I listen to the RIM. I'm like, oh, this isn't really that great, but I mean, the beat's cool at least. And then, you know, you later on get introduced to other things and everything else, and you go on into your merry way. And then you always remember in the back of your mind, especially as I've gotten more into nerdcore, just like, no one gave him shit for sampling Pac-Man. No one gave him a day, you know. And then you look back at, like, Wu-Tang Clan. It's like, no one gave them, you know, fucking garbage for doing
any
all the
kind of the Marvel bars that they were talking about.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
I mean,
no one gave
even Swisha House did like a Super Mario beat. It was like that underground.
Oh,
beat.
That's right.
Like, that was
shit.
Big back in the day.
It's so,
in
it's
high
so funny.
School.
It's so funny looking back then, and just seeing sort of those things there. Especially, like, we always say Wu-Tang Clan, just because, like, the joke I make is that they're, like, they're nerdy as fuck because they're sampling and talking about, you know, fucking old kung fu films.
Yeah,
you know, like, they're going, like, deep at that time, and even deeper than some people, some nerdcore people, like, oh shit, you're talking about
what do you even do? Yeah, 36 chambers, you trip.
Exactly. Like, it's hardcore, and no one would ever say, like, man, why are you rapping about that nerdy shit? Like, no one would ever talk to the members of Wu-Tang and say, why the fuck are you rapping about that nerdy shit? Like,
no
nobody.
Question Wu-Tang. No one would question Wu-Tang.
Nobody. And it's so fun to kind of see that now because, like, you know, we flash forward to kind of this, and I was trying to think in my head before we did this interview, before we did the whole show, like, when the first time it was that I saw you perform, and I honestly can't remember. It's that far back. It might have been one of the early CGFs, Classic Game Fests. It probably was way sooner. It might have been like a San Antonio show or something. I don't even know. I couldn't even – like, it's one of those things where I can't even pinpoint back to when. Because
– How long have you been performing?
Well, because it's been a while – because, like, how long have you been performing, like, especially as – you know, whether it be as your name now or even just like, yo, man, I used to go by the name of, you know, MC Skittles or something.
It's not a bad name.
That might be my name. I might take MC Skittles.
I honestly haven't been counting. I mean, I graduated high school in 06, and I was doing that since then. A decade now?
Damn.
11 years, 12 years?
That's not to say that there aren't artists who have played longer. Of course there are. And we were just talking about, you know, cats that have done it way longer too. But
yeah,
it's still kind of fun to look back. It's like, wow, I've actually been doing this for a decade. And here I am now. And you know, I've I was talking to, we were talking earlier kind of in the pre-show sort of about mutually trip to Japan. And I was talking with you, and I was talking with, you know, we did an interview then, but I was talking with, like, Dave and you guys, just because I know, you know, knowing us as nerds and things like that, like, you know, there's always this mystique of this country. And Rand had been there before, and it was just the idea of, like, here you are playing a show in Tokyo, you know, even if it's just to this small little random, you know, hip-hop bar. But although that place was, like, pretty freaking cool.
It was nice.
Well, did you know, like did you notice, like, before we walked across the street to grab food, that they're playing Straight Out Compton?
Yeah, the whole time I was watching it, I never seen it.
I still need to see it too, but
never seen it.
But it was such a funny, it's was one of those things of, like, you know, you look back a decade before, like, I guess I should ask this, even though we're gonna get back to talking about this, did you think, like, a decade later that you would have played already, like, international by that point? Like, was that even in the battle plan, if there was such a thing? I mean, obviously you got into it because you liked it, but, you know, you don't say 10 years or something, because, you know.
No, it wasn't, like, the plan. It was always, like, I'm going to travel there at some point. It wasn't there to perform at all. Like, during the time me starting the Nerdcore thing, I was really just trying to go after Frontalot. I wanted to attack him, but when you meet Frontalot, he's like the coolest guy, and I'm like, man, I can't disrespect you at all.
Well, that's the thing, and I think that's what's the funny thing about Nerdcore is that you look at people and you go, like, oh man, they're like it's so interesting, because, like, you bring the whole thing, I want to attack Frontalot, and there's some people who are just like, man, Frontalot's this, whatever, and you look at all these other artists, and you meet them in person, and I think this is what I've realized, and you probably have too, especially because you've played with so many people. They're all just normal guys. They just happen to have gotten into this sort of thing, kind of like how I think everyone else has, is that they've, you know, none of them, like, anyone in Nerdcore I've met, like, they liked hip-hop as a thing, but they all did something else prior to doing hip-hop. Like, they either did more music, or they did their own thing, or I think in Rand's case, he was a teacher. I think Frontalot was, like, I know he's a some sort of engineer or some sort of like tech guy. I don't remember exactly know what.
No,
but they're all normal people. Like, I remember it was South By, and I was playing Magic with this guy. He'd brought some proxy decks. I was like, oh, fuck it, let's play some Magic the Gathering. It was at this, like, party thing, and lo and behold, I learned the guy I was playing with was the bassist for MC Frontalot for the night.
Oh yeah.
And like, Front, like, walks by and it's like, what are you guys doing? I'm playing Magic. It's like, rock on. And, like, walked off. And it was just like, Front just walked by while I'm playing fucking Magic. And thought nothing different. I'm like, yep, this is my people. These are, and it was like that weird moment of just like, I am playing Magic the Gathering with the bassist of the band I'm about to watch, because I'm the only other guy that plays Magic here.
Yeah, really.
So go for it.
I mean, Frontalot, like, I didn't know anything about nerdcore until I saw his documentary. And at that point, I was like, nah, man, I've been doing this whole time, blah, blah, blah. I've won as fans. But yeah, like just like you said, they're all just regular guys and just do what we do as nerds, I guess. And it's great, man. The culture is phenomenal. Like, people are really about that life, that 8-bit life. Well,
we should probably, probably flash back a bit.
Okay.
Because before we go forward, we have to go back. We have to build a foundation, as they say. So I guess I got to ask, what was your first kind of exposure to hip hop? Like, I know we talked about this early on in the pre-show, but I kind of want you to expand on this, because obviously we all had our introductions to the music that we were into and stuff like that. But we'll start with hip hop and then kind of broaden that out into music in general.
Okay. Hip hop, I guess I got hip to that from, I'm going to go real back on this one. I had a Bobby's World tape. As a kid.
Hold on.
We're going way back on this one.
We're talking Howie Mandel, Bobby's World.
Bobby's World, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Howie Mandel. Bald Howie Mandel. That was when he had hair, Howie Mandel.
the high top hair.
That's how far back that was. That was back when he had
hair. That's how far back. Yeah.
Okay, like, so Bobby's World, I'm now...
I had a Bobby's World tape from the TV show, and I liked it. My mom got me another Kid and Play mixtape. That was the next mixtape I got that.
So you...
I just love two of those.
Okay, so you went from Bobby's World to I don't know where Kid and Play is on the scale, but we'll just say Kid and Play.
Bobby's World had like a few hip hop songs, right, which was crazy. And then when I showed it to my mom, she was like, "All right, let me get you something else." And she got me the Kid and Play. Me and my brother loved the Kid and Play mixtape. But that was the first two albums I listened to as a kid, and then it jumped straight to gangster rap when we got the West Side Connection Bow Down album.
I have to ask, Doug, not because it's a bad thing. I think it's okay that you went from quote unquote safe rap, although, you know, these are the guys that did House Party, and House Party is pretty, you know, for movie's sake, risque in the grand scheme of things. I mean, it's a house party and anything can happen. maybe not as risque as the house party is now, but anyways, Kid and Play were well-known entities. How do you convince, like, did your mother let you buy that? Did you buy it in secret? Only because...
I don't think my mom knew any of those.
Okay, that was my question, because I'm just like, oh, here's Kid and Play. Like, okay, that's not so bad. You know, she could not see the print. There's no sticker on that, I don't think. And then you're just like, Mommy, can I buy this? And you look at it, and if you've never seen the cover of West Side Connection's, first album.
Three dudes in black looking like Bohemian Rhapsody.
It looks a little bit Nemesis. But the thing is that, like, and for, you know, we have it now, and it was, thanks to people like Tipper Gore, why we have it. Specifically the parental... Was it the explicit
advisory sticker? Yeah.
And that was a sticker to parents around the world that said, this is bad music. And not that it was bad, but that there was challenging themes and potentially curse words. Ooh.
But that was the thing at the point. Like, my mom, we came from Panama to the States, and I had an older brother at the time. I don't really recall how we got the albums, but I think my brother asked my mom to buy these albums, and that's how I got a hold of them, and I listened to them.
So I didn't realize that you were actually from Panama, in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, yes. I am it's really hard to pinpoint this, because my dad is Panamanian, my mom is Panamanian, my grandfather is Jamaican. But I'm a mix of...
No, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with being an international person. It's just like, in the whole time that I've known you, I don't think I may have known it once, but I've maybe never just sort of asked about it more. How did you then make your way to the States? Specifically, like you said, you guys moved here. Like, did you know that? Have you asked the story to your parents of, like, your mom, like, hey, how did we end up here in the U.S.?
Yeah, my dad joined the military.
Okay.
And he was sent to Texas. So yeah, it's pretty much the whole grand scheme of things.
That's a good.
The U.S. pretty much was recruiting Panamanians at the time, and he got in.
Wow, that is insane. That is a weird thing. Just the idea of like, only because like if you think about like, you know, I was born in the U.S. kind of thing, but I always think of if, you know, Christopher Columbus never sailed and Spain never discussed, you know, did all the things they did. Like would I have ended up here, or would I have been born in Spain in the grand scheme of things? Just because of you think of that, and especially
a lot of what ifs.
Well, because it's an interesting what if like, you know, what if your dad never made it to Dallas? You know, like would your life have been the same, or would there have been some interesting variations? But that doesn't matter. it does matter, but it's just it's
it does matter. Yeah.
Well, it does. Else you wouldn't be here.
It's a long story, I'm sure.
No. But that's kind of cool, especially like the idea of that being having your older brother be the way of like getting the stuff that, you know, that younger Doug was not supposed to have.
Right. Yeah.
In terms of music. God, because I just want to know
have any of those.
Because that's just such a jarring thing, kid and played to. Fucking gangster, like hardcore gangster rap. Not even like, not even like we're not like talking about like.
Not even a half step. No.
I mean, like NWA is hard.
But it's political at the same time. They have political statements.
Right. They're, you know, Public Enemy is hard, but the same idea. There's political statements. Yeah. West Side Connection. There ain't no politics.
Have none of that.
There's no politics. There is bow down, and that is it. Like there's no room for interpretation. No room for discussion. There's a line. The world is mine. Get back. Yeah. I won't say that other word because I'm Mexican even then. But I won't say it anyways. Like there's line right there, and just like. Like that is a statement that you make of like that. There's no misinterpreting that. There's no like, I wonder what he means by that. Like, no, he's he's got his, he's like, don't fuck with my stack. The gauge is racked. Like there's he listed it like,
that's the first line. What would you do if I punked your whole crew? Would you run like,
there's
a
no,
there's
room.
No hold bars in that.
It's great. But I guess I should ask then specifically, like, what was your kind of exposure to music? I mean, obviously everyone has, you know, you're not just a hip hop guy in general. Everyone likes whatever. But like, how did you, especially when it comes to doing hip hop, like, how did you make that jump to then doing performance? Because there's listening to music, and then there's going and saying, I've got something maybe to say.
My dad loved music. He played music pretty much all the time. He would wake up Sunday mornings at like 5 a.m., blare music, and go back to sleep, where the rest of us is waking up in the middle of the night like, the hell is going on? And he'd play like old school funk music, James Brown, Temptations, you know, things like that, Teddy Pendergrass, Bob Marley. He had a wide variety of things. So we would listen to it a lot, but my dad did not like hip hop. And of course, being a kid at the time, we want to do stuff our parents don't want us to do.
Right.
So I was listening to
this. And that, and it was the music of, I mean, it still is the music of, I mean, I think it's now, I think officially now it's the number one listen to music in the U.S. I think it's the most popular music now. I think that's what I was hearing report somewhere, and I might be wrong, but if it's not the number one, it is up there. Like, you know, and at the time, especially in the early 90s, it was the thing, you know. I mean, it still is the thing, but it was like the thing. Like it was to the point where like megastars were happening kind of stuff. Like, and there are new megastars, and people that had never had that kind of like power were having it. But anyways, so it was the hip thing kind of thing. But
for sure.
But your dad like listened a lot of whole like funk and stuff like that. So then what made that jump then to start saying, well, I could perform hip hop or I could perform anything?
There was a lot of jumps. I mean, me and my dad moved around a lot because he kept moving to different stations. We were in Killeen, Texas for Fort Hood, and then we jumped to Fort Lee in Virginia. And it was hard to kick it with friends at the time because any house that we stayed in, it was at least a couple acres just to get to your next door neighbors. And I didn't know much of anybody. So at that time, technology was booming. So I was able to get a PC and got Fruity Loops. And from there, started making beats and started showing her to friends.
I love that it's funny because I'm you know, even as a kid, I fucked on with FL Studio because I think everyone did.
Yeah.
It's funny looking back at, like, everyone has their certain path they went when it came to making music or when it came to just kind of experimenting with music. And it always is, like, either FL Studio or a tracker if you're from a certain era. Or something else, but usually it's like FL Studio, especially when it comes to hip hop, just because it made things like it had a built-in drum machine, and all these sort of built-in effects, and it's just like, yeah, I could, you know, do something to it. But so you start made beats in FL Studio then.
Yeah, I started showing it to friends, and all my friends they want to be rappers. they would hear my beats, like, yo, let me spit on that, and they would freestyle, and it would be trash. Like, I don't want you to spit anything on these beats, man. You know what? I'll write something for it. He's like, all right, man, you missing out. Whatever. Whatever.
You missing out. DJ, you know, I don't even know anymore. DJ space blank is my, like, default joke hip hop artist name, even though I don't think
MC Skittles.
I don't think anyone does DJ that, but I was like, I should start using, like, MC blah. It's always
MC blah.
It's like MC blank or DJ blank, and it's never anything creative. It's always that. Even though, like, most people now, I think the scheme for naming your nerdcore or just your hip hop artist name in general is take a word and, like, skew the way it's traditionally spelled.
yeah.
Well, because like I don't, and this is not to
extension,
say
extension.
Well, because you've been to South by Southwest before,
yes,
many white times, and this is not to diss anyone in particular or to say this, but this is just a common thing that happens at South by Southwest. Everyone's handing out their mixtape, their mix CDs, just the hope of somebody listening to it, right?
Right off Sixth Street, yeah.
This past year, I noticed this, and I made the comment before, and I'll make it again, even though I see it every year. Like, everybody had, like, the giant fucking banner. Did you notice that? Like, everyone had, like, the big fucking, like, Prince Ali signs. Like, it's like, Prince Ali, glorious he, I am a rapper. Like that's what it was to me. And it was just like, and they all had their crews. And their crews were, like, 10, 12 deep. And
deep.
I'm just,
deep. Yeah.
And I'm just like,
deep.
And my brain is like, does that work? I don't think that works, but, I mean... Like, because I kept wondering, like, because I kept seeing them so many times, I go, like, was there, like, a sale at Ginkgo's or something? Was there, like was there a deal where you could get, like, this, you know, big giant poster board thing and, like, you know, whatever else? Like 20, you know, like 300 flyers all for, like, the low price of 120? You know, like, where was the deal? Like, what package was this that gave you, like, do they have,
like... Vistaprint, man. They got the shit off Vistaprint.
Right, but, like, what was the, like, was it, like here's the artist package. Here is the, you know, the Aladdin package or whatever, because it wasn't, like, one guy had it. It wasn't, like, two guys had it. It was, like... I was literally in line for an event. I think it was for Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra and a couple of the Japanese artists. And, like, you know, three or four walked by. And I was like, okay, that's – like, and it wasn't like they all had different sort of things. They all had roughly the same kind of configuration, which is their picture, their – maybe their URL somewhere. But usually it was it might have been their Twitter. Chances are it was their Facebook and their Instagram. Like, that was, like, the amount of social it had. And it was never like, buy my album here, in stores now, or anything like that. It was just like their name somewhere on the top part. Their, you know, a picture of them looking as hard as they fucking can. You know, always the same pose. It's always like the or the that, or it's like, you know, like we're talking about, like, West Side Connection, like that kind of thing. Like, it's like you look at it like, okay, this is, I see it. And it was always the same. Like, Instagram was always there, and their Instagram was never like anything that would be their artist name, like that you would think. Even if it was always like something and like a bunch of numbers at the end. I mean, again, I have numbers at my own, but I at least keep consistently as much as I can. Vincent Forrester 4, you know, I keep that.
Yeah.
You know, like, you keep yours, Doug Funny, or this, the Doug Funny, or Doug Funny. Like, there's some type of consistency. And it was like there was no consistent, like their Facebook one was their name, their hip hop artist name, and their Instagram they had like, oh shit, I forgot to register that name. What's left? Big Blunt 42. All right, that sounds good. Like I'm not saying it was that, but just whatever, you know. Ninja Puck 87, you know. It doesn't even matter what the hell it was. It could have been nothing. But I always just found that like it was more the fact that I kept seeing the same thing over and over again. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it was that like weird thing of like, was there a deal? Was there a package? Did someone like, you know, did Vistaprint say like, look, if you buy this, we'll throw in a koozie. And I'm just like, I gotta get that koozie. Like, and that's okay. I just want to know.
I can't knock a cat's hustle. I mean, the dudes out there hustling, you can't knock the hustle. But at the same time, man, I don't know what they expect to get from that.
That's sort of what I guess I should ask you this, especially because, you know, you are yourself a musician going into the hustle, as we like to call it, the side hustle, primary hustle, whatever you want to call it. How do you tend to, especially when it comes to music? I mean, obviously, you know, you played shows before that, but in the early days, you know, it wasn't, people didn't know who the hell you were, not because they didn't know you were, but just because, you know, how would they? How did you promote yourself at the very beginning, especially when you started like starting out, like after you've gotten a little bit comfortable, you know, being behind a mic, seeing things?
Really just doing open mics and then really just hope for the best. I was really just trying to be so good that they can't not look past me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm doing something in the city that cats are not doing. And how I'm doing it is what you're familiar with, but not what you're doing. And better.
That's interesting, especially like taking the approach of that, because, I mean, we talked about the, you know, early on the show, nerdcore being this kind of geeky thing, and not a whole lot of people are, I mean, we're all geeks of something, but not everyone's your kind of geek. I mean, even in Tokyo, I remember like when you played your show, we were kind of talking like off the side, and you had said like, you know, I was like, I'm surprised you didn't do the whole, like, because you have like a couple wrestling stuff. You have the, you know, the Ooh Yeah with the Macho Man song. And I was like, I'm surprised you didn't do the Macho Man. It's like, I didn't think it would play. And then like Rand starts doing some other stuff. You're like, man, I should have fucking done the Macho Man song.
Yeah.
But it was one of those moments of like, you know, there's certain things that you think would play certain crowds that don't. And you know, I've noticed that when it comes to, like, I was talking with Chris off mic, Chris Allen IQ, and he was surprised like how many like nerds knew who Anita Baker was. Because people were like, I have a song based on Anita Baker, but like cheering like other things. He's just like, wow, I'm amazed you all know who the hell Anita Baker, not in a bad way, but just like,
yeah, you know, just amazed.
It's one of those things you're like, I didn't expect that. Okay, well, then I might like this kind of thing. We should probably ask that question, especially the geek stuff, because, you know, even though, you know, we've talked about the hip hop, talked about music, we talked about all the stuff, we'll get more in certain things else. What was your earliest geek memory? Like, and I say that because nerdcore, you know, for those who have no idea what nerdcore is, traditionally it's hip hop with a lot of nerdy references, where traditional hip hop may reference something like, I don't know, their favorite alcoholic drink. Nerdcore might reference something like their favorite anime, just to give, not saying that there's no crossover, just to, you know, explain.
Right,
But yeah, what was your earliest geek memory? Like, how did you get into all the weird geeky shit that you got into?
My earliest geek memory, I want to say, is that when I was being babysit, my babysitter was playing Batman.
Really?
Like
the original Tim Burton one?
I honestly don't know. It was like, that early.
Wow. Okay. So
I knew it was Batman, but it was before Super Nintendo for sure.
Okay, then it had to be
the NES.
It had to be that one. Then okay, so you're playing Batman the original on the Nintendo. Wow. Okay.
Now this is a thing in Panama. I just realized this, that I've seen the Famicom before, but I couldn't pinpoint where I've seen it before. And when we went to Japan, I recognized it, and that's what my cousin had when we were little.
Really?
They had the option for Famicom and the Super Nintendo.
Interesting.
So he had a Super Famicom. He played a game when we were kids, and I couldn't get it to work. So that was another memory. I don't know what game it was, because now that I know it's on the Super Famicom, it could have been any kind
right.
of game.
Right, it could have been Back to Future, you know, the freaking video game then.
No idea.
That's interesting, because I know Europe had certain things and had, like, you know, like the European Super Nintendo looked more like the Super Famicom, even though it's like a PAL system. And, you know, I would later learn in life all the things that I was supposed to know, especially when it comes to those classic systems. I have a third party controller that had like all turbo buttons, whatnot. And it had all the colored buttons, like the red, blue, yellow, whatever. I was like, well, that's kind of weird. I guess they did that way. I would later learn that that was the official color scheme for the Famicom. We just, you know, didn't like that here in the U.S.
Because just dumbed it down, we got different colors, orange.
Purple and lavender.
Gray.
Purple, lavender, and gray. That's what the Americans want. They want purple, lavender, and gray as opposed to all these weird
too much
colors.
Color, no.
No. too crazy for them. They won't understand it. They won't get it. But because it's always fun to kind of think back on that stuff. Like, what got you into anime? I only said because you have a couple of anime songs in your repertoire.
Well, Dragon Ball Z, Toonami was a thing, man. Toonami was a thing. Growing up, Toonami had Dragon Ball Z. I didn't know what Dragon Ball Z was, so I caught an episode of dudes throwing like Kamehameha. I was like, yo, what is this?
Well, I mean, I only said it's surprising because, like, my first... I mean, I had exposure to anime here of Ronin Warriors, but like when I started, like the way I got deep into anime was when I went to Mexico and visited my cousins, and like they all had like some of the like that's why I saw like you know Captain Tsubasa, like the soccer anime Super Campeones for those in Mexico, or Saint Seiya, or you know better known in Mexico as Caballeros del Zodiaco, and I only say that because I'm like, if your cousins were playing Famicom and Super Famicom stuff in Panama. Like, I'm surprised they didn't say, yo, have you seen this yet? And just showed you, like, fucking, you know, Bubblegum Crisis.
They may have. I'm be honest, they may have. I probably was too young to understand it.
No, that's fine. It's just, it's one of those things where I'm just like, I'm utterly surprised you saw all those things. And, like, it wasn't until Toonami that you're like, what's this anime thing? Not even a bad way.
Yeah.
To say a that. So... we're going to flash forward a bit further more because we're now to now because these days, Doug, you're the only friend I have and I have over the years have made many musician friends. I've made many hip hop musician friends.
Right.
You're the only musician friend that I know that does battle rapping as it were, rap battles or whatever.
Battle raps. Yeah.
Battle raps. I got, even though I think it, the problem is with a name like that, there are different images you can have. Cause like, you know, for all I know, this could be like, yeah, I'm a battle rapper. You go to like some like, you know, fucking like underground tunnel. Like it becomes like fucking like, what was that? Not Jean-Claude Van Damme. What was the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie? Fuck, what was it? The
Bloodsport?
Like it could be like a fucking Bloodsport where you're just like, you dip your hands in like freezing water and like wax and crazy shit like that. And then you grab the mic, just like, yeah, battle rap.
Yeah.
So I guess explain what the hell battle, I mean, it's because it is, I think battle rap is one of the like beginnings of hip hop in the grand scheme of
things. Right.
So explain what it is, though, especially just because for those who
battle rap is basically two rappers going against each other, and they go to like the most disrespectful ways, but they also rap to you. So it's really skillful disrespecting rhymes you going at two opponents. Basically, 8 Mile with no beat.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting because it's one of those things that when you hear it, it sounds like. Because I have to imagine, like, when you know, especially because I saw some of the videos you've had and that you're talking to these people, I have to imagine that after everything is said and done, like, you have no real ill will towards these people.
Absolutely not. No,
you
know, no.
Like it's really just, it's funny to be like, it's all in good jest because you hear it, you're like, damn, that sounds hard. Because I've heard you, because at Classic Game Fest, we recorded something for, I think it was Juice Lee, he was recording some video for something or another. And it was like, and you did a battle rap with him or whatever. You know, something happened where you got in it. It hurt us. Like, fuck, Doug's getting hard. It's like, this is hurtful. And I'm like, this isn't what I, oh, okay, this is battle rap. All right, I understand now. Because I'm like, if you said that at a point, it just like that's where just like the gloves come off and it's fist fight time.
You know, it's very like some rappers will actually try to go to a deeper end and go to disrespect you and try to rile you up and want to fight you. Like, there is a fine line of rappers that want to really hurt you, but there's not many rappers, you know what I mean? I really feel like the culture of battle rap is almost just the same as nerdcore, because they're really, it's really tight knit. Like, everyone knows each other, and it's nothing but love, but it is a competition.
Yeah, and I think that's the difference between traditional rapping or traditional hip hop or nerdcore or any you know. We'll just say we'll put the difference between it. There's composed hip hop, which is traditionally like someone writes a rhyme, somebody has a pre-planned beat, and somebody that in the middle of that is freestyle, where somebody has a beat but you kind of make it up on the fly,
right?
And then there's battle rap, which is, it's not composed, it's freestyle, but you're kind of targeting a person, so there's something to work off of. Like, you know, you can look at somebody and say things. I guess I should ask the question, because this is something I've been curious, especially when it comes to battle rapping and things like that. Has there been something said to you that when you've heard it, that your non-rational brain, your monkey, you know, your primitive animal brain part of your brain, the reptile portion, as people call it, has heard something said to you in a battle rap, and that was like the "what the fuck did you say, little kid" kind of thing?
No, not yet. Not yet, at least.
Well, because like, I can imagine yet. Just someone just says that one thing, and then they don't even mean it. They're just, you know, in the moment, and they're, you know, they're heat and doing it, and that's totally fine. But they say that one, and it's just like that flip. I'm just like, what the hell did you say? Because you see that always in like the videos that they put for like, you know, we talk 8 Mile, and there's a mystique to it, even though I think 8 Mile is what it used to be. Back when it was, you know, we're going to settle turf wars here, as opposed, which is, yeah. If in the grand scheme of things.
I don't think so. No, I don't think that was the case. But I mean, when in battle rap back in the days, they did have beats, but I think it was all in jest, and they wanted to test everyone's skill and limit, because hip hop was brand new back then.
That's true.
They really wanted to see who can MC better, who was the best MC.
Yeah, even though it's such a weirdly subjective thing, but.
Yeah, now these days it's gotten very complex and very tough, and most of these MCs sit all day and just think of the craziest rhymes and craziest schemes to throw at somebody, and I want that challenge, and I think that's why I wanted to battle rap.
Well, it's definitely it's fun looking at it, because it's just like it is a very specialized skill within hip hop. I mean, freestyle itself is I'm always impressed with freestyle, and as years have gone on and talking with artists and who do that kind of stuff, I'll ask questions of like, do you have like sort of, you know, built in things you have? It's like, yeah, I have a couple of go tos that I have that I know will change, that I can change other things and stuff like that, which is like, that's like such a weird, that's a weird way of thinking of music and thinking of rhyming, is that you have these like I, if you want to make a video game reference, like Killer Instinct, there's like the linkers and the combos and the kind of the jugglers and things like that you just kind of link into certain stuff. And freestyle, I mean, battle rap always impressed me, just because you're doing this at a targeted person. And while yes, it is in jest, and while yes, you know, you hopefully don't go too far that things get taken personally, it's the idea that you don't, you know, you may know your opponent, And like, did you research? I guess that's a good question I should ask you. Do you typically know your opponent ahead of time before you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you get time to research. And my recent battle with T, she researched me. So she looked up my stuff, looked up rhymes to disrespect the cartoon Doug Funny. And it was funny. Like, I didn't expect that. But that, I guess, that's what I signed up for. So
no. And I think
you got to be ready to know. You got to, like, counter the counter. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like, I mean, we talk about, I mean, yes, it's battle rap, but it truly is a, like, if it is a battle in that regard of, like, trying to one up. I mean, we have, like, the jokes now with, like, epic rap battles of history and all these kind of weird
right,
things.
Yeah.
But all those, you know, began somewhere in some real fashion. And it's just, it's interesting. Interesting looking back on all that stuff and that specifically just the just how you get there. Okay, so last and final battle rap question because we're almost out of time. We're almost at the hour mark. We've expanded everything, which is great. Do you ever think that when you research somebody? And you're looking up and seeing what you can say, what you can't. Is there certain things in your own mind that are off limits? Like that you know that you wouldn't say it because if you did, you could never take it back kind of thing.
Yeah. In my recent, my battle against T, when I did my research and looking at old, like, professional battle raps, the KOTD, King of the Dot, and there's a lot of bring ups of, like, dead family members. Like, dudes will bring up dead family members and family illnesses. Like, someone that's having, like, having autism, like a brother with autism, they'll disrespect that and shit like that. The dead family members, I don't think I can touch, because that's a hard one to really.
Yeah, that's a bit strange to just, like, man, your brother's got autism or whatever. Like, that's a bit of a weird, even a strange diss from. I mean, like, how do you say that in jest? How do you say that? Even I get that there's that you're trying to get them off their game, and I understand that. But there's certain things you just. I mean, especially
like this.
You just can't take back. Right, you can't take that back. Right,
no,
you can't,
like,
take it back. And knowing that this is gonna. I mean, obviously, you've gotten kind of lucky in that you understand the internet. You know, you grew up at a young age being in technology, growing up in a young age, you know, because you're moving around, getting the internet, things like that, I imagine, that you know all that stuff is permanent, that you write the internet, like my friend Brian says, you write the internet in permanent marker. You know, anything you post there is there for eternity.
It's done.
It's done. And that's fine. You just act accordingly. You understand that that's what's there and that you know,
right.
that's how it works out. And I can imagine because you know this will be recorded and be shared around or whatever, it's like, I can't say that. I can do this. I can go up to here. I can, here's the line. And maybe I can look at the line and glance at the line, but I can't cross over that because, and then that's interesting
right.
to have the internal line be this, like, you know, not attack, you know, basically attacking the subject as opposed to attacking things outside the subject's control, you know, like a dead family member. Like that's a weird one to attack. Interesting. I mean, I'm saying
it
bad, but just like, that's
it's very, very tough to even touch. Cause with my battle with T, she released a song about, like, dead homies in her city, and it was wide open. Like, one of the dudes she referenced was Lil Simba, like Simba from Lion King. And I'm like, I can make so many rhyme schemes with this, but I'm just like, I can't do it. I can't do it.
No, well, no, because, like, the idea is, and the flip is, if what if somebody did that to you?
Right,
you know?
Yeah,
and
I wouldn't take it well.
Like, you wouldn't take it well. And, you know, you could, you know, I wouldn't take it well. I'd be like, why are you, like, one, I'd look at them strangely, like, why the hell are you bringing him up? And two, just like, do you know what you're saying? Do you realize what this is? That in the grand scheme of eternity, in the grand scheme of eternity, this is nothing. Not saying in a bad way, but just in, like, in if you look at, you know, the breadth of a work of an artist, it's like, this is but one video, you know, that
right.
will live on. For as long as it'll live on, you know, like, you know, if we talk about, you know, joking in the 90s of the whole, you know, East Coast, West Coast thing and how that, you know, that ended horribly, you know.
Like, it's real life. Like, in cats, I feel like some dudes play with that. They jump on that line just to see how far they will go. And, man, I don't know. I think at that point it may be too much, but I kind of want to see this through. With battle rap, I really want to test my skills. I mean, if we cross that bridge, we'll cross it. But I don't foresee me going that route.
Well, because again, it's less about insulting the person who you're rapping to. Because if you're researching an artist and they're there and you're listening to them and you're spending time hearing their rhymes. Like, I imagine you listening to T and just going like, oh, she has some really good songs. Like, oh, that's some really good stuff. Or she's very talented. Like, again, it's, you know, yeah, artist respecting artist kind of thing. It's just what people,
for sure,
what real musicians do. Real musicians don't look back, look down at someone's like, oh, that's garbage. So they're like, oh, that's pretty good. There's some stuff here. You might see where there could be better strengths, weaknesses, kind of thing like that. But that's, every artist does that.
Absolutely.
But I just, like, again, it's that weird thing of like, this is, you know, this is but one thing. I don't need to, there's no need for me to lower myself to try to win. And especially when it comes to that, because again, it's the idea that one day you might, you know, someone might want to book you for an event and look back and say, oh, let me see what else this guy has done.
Yeah.
And find that. And say, like, is that the kind of artist we want at our con? And that's a real thing for a nerdcore artist. Is like, yeah, is that a, you know, conventions are sometimes, are, you know, you guys are bread and butter in terms of performing at times. It's like, do I want that person at my convention? Do I want that kind of thing? Or there might be somebody that you look into that's like wants to collaborate and looks at that thing and says, do I want to bring that kind of energy into my music? And that's, right, a valid concern. I imagine it's a valid concern on your part, just, and not because of, you know, you're doing this to test your skills as an artist. You're not going here to say like, let me see how far I can, you know, can dance on that line and how many, yeah, people I can piss off and how many bridges I can burn.
But I don't know, man. It, for cons, it's very difficult, especially with nerdcore, just to bring out nerdcore. Because anytime you bring up nerdcore, there's a whole explanation that you have to say with it. Then on top of that, I have to explain battle rap to the dude. So it's a whole longer conversation. And I think because of that, some cons may just be uninterested because of the explanation I have to give them.
Yeah.
So I understand the bridge possibly burned, but man, I want to do better as an artist.
No, and I think that there is still something with that. If you go, especially if your battle raps aren't things, again, if you're just targeting the person and targeting it in, for lack of better words, tasteful way, like, you're not, you know, going straight down her, you know, like, if it's with T, it's like, you're not, or female, you're not targeting like specifically her gender or things like that, or you're not doing these, again, for lack of better words, low hanging fruit. And I think that's what bugs me about like doing the dead members and stuff like that. Like, that's low hanging fruit. That's nothing. Yeah. That's like, that's easy shit. And you know, that's not why you got into this. You're not doing it for the easy. You're trying to test your skills. You're trying to up your skills in some capacity, whether it be freestyle, whether it be this, whether it be that. And a lot of the times, I think the better ones are when you're like, all right, let me do my research. Let me see what this is. All right, that I could have rhymes off of, but that's really easy to do. Let's see if there's something harder. Let's see if I can get a deeper reference, a deeper this, you know, whatever. Doug, complete and utter pleasure to have you on the show. Let's say people want to actually start buying some of your music, or more importantly, want to check out future battle raps, things like that. Where can people find you online these days, my friend?
You can find me always on the Bandcamp at dougfunny.bandcamp.com. On any social media account, be under Funny Music, FUNNIE. All the battle raps will be under the Live from the Block page. So if you type in Live from the Block Battle Rap League in Google, you'll definitely pull up. Osama the Great, shout out to the dude, put me on. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm trying to get a website up soon. So we'll see how that goes. I'm also affiliate for Rip Tees. So if you like t-shirts like this, I get you 15% off using the code FUNNYTEES.
There you go. Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 there on the Twitters and on the chat rooms, everything else. If you want to catch previous episodes of the podcast, you can head to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you'll find links to show notes, previous episodes, and of course, after you've bought all the music from Doug Funny, head over to patreon.com/8bitlife and help the show become bigger, better, and more awesome. So that's it for today. So next time, I'm talking about something completely and utterly random. Bye, people.
This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.